This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Greetings to my smiling partner, Sam LaCure.
Good intro.
This is the first, we opted this time for the first of what I'm sure will be many semi-Texas themed shows, since we share that just a bit. That's perfect. This is perfect. So what we did is we took the dozens of staffers that we have working on this program, producers, researchers, all those good folks that have been hard at work on this for the last week. And I said, hey, give us some stuff just to start with, to kick things off. And so here's where we are to start our first Texas theme show, semi-Texas theme. Sam is having a margarita. Salt or no salt?
Salt.
All right. Corn or flour tortillas?
Flour.
George Strait or Willie Nelson?
I mean, I got to go Willie.
It's like asking you to pick between your kids, right?
I know. Yeah.
You've got the king against and the legend.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So that's good. That's how we
start. I will never smoke weed with Willie again.
Somebody already wrote that song.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
But it was a good one. All right. That's a good start.
Is that this Texas portion for right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we got more. Yeah. So you can change hats as we go.
He'll be back.
But with that, I will say welcome to this edition of Dead Red Cincinnati. Brian Giesenslaw, former Reds pitcher, Sam LaCure. On the way on this show, yes, a Texas edition of Five and Dive later in the show. And also tales from the University of Texas as a young Sam LaCure was on the road to Omaha with the Texas Longhorns back in the day. So that's coming up. Right now, leadoff spot, as always, the Cincinnati Reds. And Sam, there was a television show years back, I don't know how many years back, called Fear Factor. And so we're talking about the Reds right now, and you brought this up at the ballpark. You brought it up with the Cowboy. If you're an opposing team, an opposing pitcher, looking at the Cincinnati Reds lineup right now, rate the fear factor for me of facing that lineup 1 through 9.
Well, if we're going to, let's put it on a scale of 1 to 9, I'd say the fear factors, I mean, right now it's pretty 2-ish. I don't want to say all the way to 1, because there's always, you know, fear, because anybody with a bat in their hand is dangerous. And obviously, you know what these guys are capable of. We just saw Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. who had been pretty scarce for the better portion of the year, but there's still a fear factor because of the name on the back of the jersey. These guys on the Reds don't have that just yet. So I think when you go in there as an opposing pitching staff, you're not as tight. You're not trying to be as perfect because you know there's a margin for error. So you feel like you'd rather err on the side of being aggressive. Like, I can be in the strike zone here and I don't have to worry about being punished right now because they're just not punishing anything. And that's just the fact of the matter. I mean, that is certainly, obviously we're pro Reds here, but I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. If you're going in there to face this lineup right now, you kind of just really just feed it to them until they show you they can handle it. And right now they're not handling it with any consistency.
But that's what we've talked about. It's until it changes, nothing changes. Yeah, and you know, there are guys, certainly you talked about, that have longer track records, the guys we just saw in St. Louis. But for this Reds team, which last year was dangerous, but more confounding or unpredictable.
I'd say unpredictable.
Are those good adjectives, the way that they played a year ago, and they're trying to regain that but haven't found it yet?
Well, I'd say unpredictable in the fact that, you know, it was a lot of guys who just got to the big leagues who knew what to expect. How could – I mean, you can't predict this game anyway, much less with unknown commodities, which rookies are. I mean, you're pretty much – you haven't proven yourself until after probably 3 years in the big leagues. Mm. And that's why that's when the arbitration starts, is because, you know, you have your rookie season and it can go one way or the other. You have your sophomore year, which is either a slump or you continue to progress. And you have that third season, which going into arbitration is weighted – for your contractual status, because that's the most likely the indicator of who you'll be moving forward. So none of these guys have, you know, well, not none of them, but certainly the guys that came up last year, they haven't had that track record of what to predict. So it was exciting. It was almost confusing at times, certainly for the other teams. But, you know, for us, it's like, man, I've just never seen this. So many young guys come up and contribute right away. Are they trying to recreate that? Well, of course they are, because it was an exciting season and they moved up in the standings, but they're also, and we're going to, you can move us on to this. I think we're going to blend it into the new celebration thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start there or go there.
Yeah.
With the conversation.
I felt like that was a natural progression.
I like that. That was,
you're the leader on this thing and everybody knows it. It's obvious, but that felt like to me an opportunity.
All right. If you had a beverage right now, which maybe you do, I don't want to ask.
I don't want to ask what it is.
This is the point in the show where we pour one out for the Viking hat, right?
Yep.
We pour one out for the Viking helmet, because the Viking helmet, I know you got one sitting around somewhere. It was retired this week.
It was.
And I thought that was bold. I applaud that decision. And we loved it. Everyone loved it. And it fit figuratively and literally as it sat on the heads of those guys hitting those home runs. It fit that team last season. And it's gone now because they decided that it no longer fit. And Luke Maley, who's kind of our North Star, our barometer, you know, the kind of, we feel the clubhouse and we feel the team through his veteran eyes and leadership. He had a quote that I brought up to you, and I'll do it again here, which was, no matter how much you think or hope year to year, no two teams are ever the same.
No.
You can have some of the same personnel, most of the same personnel, and things are different. Things change. Time changes things. The game changes things. What do you see in what he said and then the move that they made to move away from what was in large part of their identity a season ago?
Yeah, I think that no two teams are the same, because not everybody is, you know, kind of together moving up the ladder as far as their learning curve goes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you've seen some guys, well, maybe haven't seen, certainly the pitching staff take step forwards this year, right? So the kind of like the pitching staff is going, and then the offense, you know, they're not, it's not an equal rise, and it never will be. So especially with a team so full of young guys, that haven't had an opportunity to prove themselves or adjust to the league, there's just going to be give and take as far as that goes. I mean, obviously the offense has taken a step back. There's been some injuries, whatever the case, but I think it was pretty profound on their part, because I mean, it was so fun, you know, when that thing started last year. And I mean, it was like took the city by storm type of deal. It's America's team. It's all this yarn. And no, I've been wanting to. Hey, if we're gonna start, if we're gonna have some Texas, yeah, there's gonna be a fixin' that gets mixed in here too. Believe that. But you know, you want to recreate it so bad because it is the same guys, and you're all still pulling for the same thing. Mm-hmm. When it gets to a point where, you know, you're kind of beating your head against the wall with a lot of this stuff, you're looking for something, man. I promise you, at some point, guys were putting their socks on differently than they had. Yeah. I promise you, if they won a game, they were wearing maybe the same outfit to the park the next day. Things like, I mean, you're looking for anything. Change, you know, Scooter Jeanette was in town. He said he ate a double cheeseburger before he hit the four home run games, tried to eat it the next morning and about threw up. I mean, it just, you can't recreate it all the time, right? But you're trying so hard. So that was on an individual level. The Viking helmet, now you found something on a team level that you can change together that, now this is taking on a life of its own, right? And it's something they all have to take a hold of. It's theirs. It's not ours. Because, I mean, I guess there's been some grumblings of it, but it's theirs and theirs only. And I think that they can rally around that.
Yeah. And in case someone's not familiar, it's sprint down the tunnel, out of the view of the cameras. They're calling it a PC, a private celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
What we know about it at this point is it's brief and it's loud and it's private and then it's over. Yep. And so, yeah, like you said, it's theirs. And I think maybe coming out of this as they kind of try to work their way out of it, I think this could be, we keep looking for things.
Hope, right?
Yeah. I want to write that story, though. I want to write it a couple of months from now and say, you know, I wanted to say David Bell destroying the chair. I wanted to say sweeping the Dodgers, which certainly still could be something that kind of turned things.
Yep.
But until they find some offensive consistency and some confidence and some swag that they haven't had, you know, we're going to keep looking for those things. But at least there are things happening that we're pointing to.
Yeah.
That could potentially be part of the turnaround. So 56 games in as we talk right now, 56 games in. Write me a headline or sentence for the 2024 Cincinnati Reds. You didn't know there was going to be a test.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Write you a headline for this year's Reds. I mean, it's going to be something for as bad as it's been, it can only get better. something along those lines. If you don't put me on the spot with that, geez, come on, man. But something like that, because nothing really, I won't say nothing because their pitching has been great.
Yeah.
But, you know, the freak injuries, guys, you know, we haven't talked about, and I hate doing that, but I mean, that's just part of the equation is that they're not whole. Mm-hmm. So there's been that. There's been, because of some of that, there's been less flow within the lineup to be able to create, you know, or manufacture this flow to how it's going to go. You know, we put TJ Friedl back at the top and it looked different already, right?
Right.
I mean, just his name there is like, okay, well, that's kind of how it should be flowing. But there's guys missing from that, obviously. And with maybe schedule permitting. Or something like that. Since now they're getting into all this divisionals, it's going to be backloaded divisionally. And so they're playing all these teams outside of the division when they haven't found their footing. So they're going to find their footing at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now would certainly be a time. So schedule permitting.
I can do that. But you and I talked, and it's going into this season, we knew not everyone takes a step forward.
Yeah.
Some guys take a step back. It's just not a straight line. Some guys might take a step forward. Some guys might take two steps back. There is health. There is all of that. But you just can't, going back to what Maley said, you just can't predict based on previous performance or expectation, you know, what's going to happen. I think that's where they are.
For a young guy. That's why I've always, you know, looked to the veterans because you have proof. You know, you can look at the back of a ball card, and if it's longer than five columns long, you've got something to draw upon. And there's just not a lot of guys with that yet here in Cincinnati.
All right. We talked about, clearly it's been an offensive struggle. Before we move on, we talked about health and pitching. Nick Lodolo was back for his first start in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
let's end on a high note with something on Nick Lodolo that you saw and certainly that you hope projects and continues the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think it's just I every time we talk about him, I keep thinking about it, and I know you love this movie, Shawshank Redemption. Andy Dufresne, the way he just kind of glides through the yard and all this, and like that's Nick to me. Like he never too wound up until he's out of the game. You know, you see him if he throws 6 1/3 and, you know, Fernando Cruz come in and pick up the last two outs and he's in there and he's pumped up about it. Mm-hmm. But otherwise on the mound, you got no idea. You never see a frustration. There's the easiness. And just because there's so much, length to him, like there's just a lot in it. Just it's poetic, man, the way that he does it. And then it comes out of his hand and it's still poetic, but it's also a little bit fiery. You know what I mean? I mean, I love the fastball. The curveball is obviously going to be the calling card for his career. And, you know, I hope the Chris Sale comparisons never stop, especially since Chris Sale is throwing the ball like Chris Sale was a couple of years ago. That'd be awesome if those two got to match up in a game together, because then we could really pick out and see the similarities, because it's wild. He was great. I mean, just he's going to be able to feed that fastball in there with location. So he's going to be able to move through lineups. Like we were talking about, they're going to try to get him early in the count, certainly early in the game, but early in the count, because they just don't want to deal with that curveball. And that curveball is hard to get into the count with a strike just because it moves so much. It's hard to kind of, and he can do it, but to throw that for a strike backdoor to a righty or something like that is tough. So it's definitely more of a later in the count pitch, and I don't think they want to mess with it, and for good reason.
Yeah.
No. He's fun to watch, man. I mean,
And at some point, we're going to do something more with the Andy Dufresne comparison. He's walking around like he has not a care in the world.
That's
like a
right.
Stiff breeze might blow him down. But anyway, I can't do Morgan Freeman, but we'll work on that. All right, that wraps up the leadoff spot. We're going to go now to five and dive, our middle frames here. Right? You good? All right, so the five and dive Texas edition, we also decided to tweak it with a shared Q&A. And so we still have, obviously, five and dive. We have the five questions. I'm going to do three. You're going to do two. All right. Are related to the Lone Star State, the motherland for the Gieselslaws, and certainly you spent a decade of your life in Austin, in the capital city, which is one fine place to be, or as my wife would say, mighty fine. Well, all right, so question number one for the Texas edition of Five and Dive. Your first taste of the fruits, we'll call them, that the city of Austin and its life offers a young person was... when was that? Your recruiting visit? Was that a fiesta not long after you arrived on campus as a young man back in the day?
I can tell you that when I stepped foot on the campus, I knew that I was going to go there. Just there was a feeling about the people. That was the first time I'd been to Texas, and I was like, I hadn't even talked to anybody yet. I was like, what's going on here? But I tasted some of the fruits my freshman year. Fruit. It's hard to grow a lot of fruit in Texas, I tell you, but I found some.
There's some lovely fruit.
There is.
In the city.
So I'm two sides. I'm kind of, I don't know which way to go on this.
Okay.
Because my first part is, and I told you I was going to be horrible. Why didn't you tell me you used to root for A&M? One. Ooh. And yeah.
Okay. I can do that. I can do that.
And why? Or your new dealer's choice. How Baylor?
Oh, also a good question. All right. So I grew up in a tiny town, literally in the heart of Texas, literally about an hour and a half northeast of Austin. 5,000 people, graduated high school with fewer than 100 people. That's what it is. It's exactly
you're a sports star.
Well, I was okay, but it's a much smaller stage. It was okay, but it's exactly what you're imagining in your head. It's all high school football all the time. And I liked it that way. But my dad lived in Bryan College Station. My dad went to Texas A&M. It was one of those places where...
I think I shook his hand the other day.
You did shake his hand the other day.
Gross.
Most of my friends from high school went to A&M. It's close. It's the same culture as where we come from. I grew up going to sports camps there, growing to games there, football, baseball, basketball. And then at the last minute, My high school girlfriend was also headed that way. At the last minute, my best friend from high school said, "Hey, I'm thinking about going to Baylor." We had gone to a camp there. He goes, "Do you want to go?" And it was equidistant from home, and it was very different. I had never even considered it. And I went, like you, kind of went, okay, let's give that a shot. That's how I landed at Baylor. Was Tom Giesenslaw initially thrilled? No. We've mended most of those fences since. We'll put it that way.
If anybody hasn't been to Baylor, what a just breathtaking campus.
It's pretty cool.
It's really beautiful. And now, I mean, hell, man, they obviously, when I went down there, the Longhorns were the thing, but
yeah.
Baylor's on that map pretty that Baylor Bears, like, hey, sick them.
The Baylor campus of 2024 is vastly different from the Baylor campus of 1990. We'll put it that way.
I betcha.
And that question was too long. All right. Number two for you. We know.
Not as easy as you thought.
That's right. I know. I got to shorten that up. Shorten it up. Right. Second question for you, which is
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Number three overall is Austin is the live music capital of the world. People always say, well, what about Nashville? Well, Nashville's Music City. Austin is the live music capital of the world. You got Antones, you got ACL, Moody Theater, all those things. You got Stevie Ray Vaughan. Your best show or favorite place or act you saw or have seen in Austin?
So this will be obscure and I want it to be. I've got a couple tattoos and we've talked some about that, which this will be another topic for another show, Geese, because they just introduced all the Negro Leagues guys into the Hall of Fame stuff. So now my number is going to be way different.
I didn't even think about that.
I did.
Now you have to get a new one now.
I'll get something on it. Okay. I think I'm just going to get maybe underneath it. All right. So, I got a couple tattoos down when I was living in Austin, and it's called True Blue Tattoo. Above it was a place called the Continental Club, where a fellow by the name of James McMurtry played every Tuesday night for about 20 years. And he wrote, I don't know if it was him or his dad or some, wrote the miniseries Lonesome Dove.
Right.
So he puts on a great show up there. One of my favorite songs of his is called Choctaw Bingo. And when I would drive from Austin to Missouri, I mean, dude, if this song was 12 hours long, it hits every lake you follow. There's a great big old cigarette store over the west or something, Big Cabin Turnpike. I mean, it just goes through the entire trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I would say that going to see him was pretty fun time. He was doing a one step one time, which I'd never even heard of. So you know it's real.
That's unique. That is real. Ever hit the broken spoke?
You bet.
There's another.
I broke my spoke there one time.
We're teeing up future stories.
Yeah.
Ask me about the broken spoke later and the name Giesen's Law.
All right. So now I'm going to, I got one.
That's gonna, on.
I'm going to be quick because we're, I can already see it.
I know.
Barbecue, oh. Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
Which one? That's George Strait, Willie Nelson for you
right
there.
That is George Strait, Willie Nelson. Consistently Tex-Mex. Tex-Mex is going to vary some, but you can always get chips and salsa and probably find some creation that's great. Yeah. And then, but then barbecue, they're, you know, people do that differently. And in Texas, 98% of it's fantastic because it's brisket and sausage for me. I don't mess with pulled pork and whatnot, but man, you can't go wrong. On either, but I'd go Tex-Mex. It goes, goes well with that salted margarita you talked about.
Okay.
All right, we finished things up here. And a similar, you're back in Austin, bar, restaurant, place that you have to visit if you get one stop.
Well, you're in luck, partner, because we're going to Matt's El Rancho.
Yeah.
You better believe
it. We're having some Bob Armstrong.
You better believe it, sir. Yep. And we're gonna have a couple of those. We're going to have a couple of frozen supremes, margaritas, because on a hot day, in Austin, Texas, a frozen
goes
down.
Not hard to find a hot day in Austin,
Texas. Goes down real nice. So that's typically a Friday meeting spot for all the college buddies when I go into town. We'll go down there for lunch, make a big racket out of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, you got my Rachel. All right. That's a good way to end it. And we'll just say this as we wrap it up. Keep Austin weird. Keep Austin weird, man, right?
I'll be down there for ACL after the season.
That is too
good.
Going
to see Dua Lipa. Yes, Jeff!
Too good, too good. So here we are moving on to the stretch now, and it still has this Texas theme to it. On the pregame show, Sam, a few days ago, we congratulated the Northern Kentucky University baseball team, which only recently became a D1 team, and they qualified for the tournament. Now, they are David in a David and Goliath setup because they're taking on number one Tennessee. In the NCAA tournament. Back in the day, when you're at the University of Texas, you were Goliath.
Yeah.
Texas was and is, to a certain extent, Goliath, a power in college baseball. What do you remember about a young Sam LaCure and taking some of those first steps on the road to Omaha, as we say?
Well, I think that I became quickly a product of my environment. They had won the national championship the year before. So when you come in and a lot of those guys are back, my freshman class was really good. You know, probably a couple, an All-American mixed in here or there. I may have been one of them. but just the expectation of being on Goliath is you're Goliath. You know, you don't worry about the sheep type of deal, right? So when we got in, there was no dog piling, no nothing. I mean, the whole way through, because it was, we'd have been disappointed. We're like, we'll save the dog pile for when it really matters, because we expect to be there.
In Omaha, you said acting like you've been there before.
We called it Dish Falk North.
Mm.
It used to be Rosenblatt Stadium. We called it Dish Falk North. So when we got there, but I can definitely understand how NKU's feeling. I mean, it's exciting. You look at the guys and, you know, the basketball tournament just to get in it. You never know what can happen. Side story about NKU is they're playing Tennessee, who Tennessee's head baseball coach is the guy who recruited me to go to Texas and Frank Anderson. So we got a lot of connection here, and I wish those boys luck, but I want to keep doing some more of this, some college stuff, so I can, number one, bring the hat back out, and number two, relive some of the glory days, if we'll call it that, geese.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. I like that. All right. We're going to wrap it up there. We're going to close it out. Sam, tell the people what they need to know.
Well, I'm fixing to go play some golf, y'all. And
that's it.
That's like all I got. Click the link. We hope you like this. We're going to do it again next week. There's got to be a link somewhere. You click it, you subscribe it, you like it, even if you lie to us. So
all right.
We appreciate y'all.
Cheers. We'll see you at the ballpark.
Later, partner.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.